It's, well, the little goal last night, prime example of what we're trying to do and how it was generated. Part of it is we started in the area that we thought needed the most improving. So if we were at the other end of the ledger and we were real good in our end of the ice, we'd have started on offense, you know. But that was an area that we thought we could make adjustments and had a real solid, strong buy-in. Let's just be clear. It's not all a function of that prior to me getting here, they weren't interested in playing defense. It's not that. It's that when you're in the stretch that they were in, and there's the pressure to win and the pressure to go, players always revert to what they know, and that's pushing harder, and that's trying to break something loose, and it's a higher risk gets built into your game, and there's never any patience or calm in the defensive game because you're every game, you know, you get that feeling where every game is, every shift is that must win, and guys want to do more, and so much of playing well defensively is doing less harder.
Okay.
Like guys show up late for them?
Well,
oh, you mean just don't start on time?
Well,
they're physically at the game.
They're physically there.
Okay.
Okay,
so mentally there's some question mark about
right.
Attendance has been good, so we've had 20.
Yeah.
We're halfway home.
As a coach,
yeah.
What can you do to motivate your guys to
play? I don't. I don't notice that what I would do different, right? So we have our routines. So if the other team looks more motivated than us, then we know that it's possible at least to be motivated. It's not afternoon games are sometimes pretty exciting. I like the 1 o'clockers a lot. In a perfect world, we play all the games. Get rid of the morning skate. You got the right time. Guys get enough rest and away. That's the perfect time. There's a couple other times in the day I don't like, but we're probably going to have one, so I'm not going to say which ones they are. I'm going to go back to I don't know that I would do anything differently and say, hey, we have to change how we're approaching this because it's an earlier game. I love them. And most of the guys I think that I've ever dealt with really like that after that afternoon game. So I'm expecting us to look pretty excited tomorrow. Before, so Dallas, I'm a lot older than he is. That being said, we played our junior hockey together against each other, different conferences. But he was on the list of guys that could and would before he went to a game that would that like to get involved. And then you just saw his name a lot of places, right? You know, but I'm looking for an assistant coach for the Toronto Marlies, and I get 3 calls. From people that I know pretty good that just said, you really got to meet this guy. And then John Ferguson came to me with the same thing. He said, listen, I've gotten some unusually high-end phone calls about this man that you should interview him. So we met in Toronto. 5 minutes into it, I knew he was the guy. Very, very bright, very detailed. The hardest thing sometimes is when you get players that become coaches. Some of them are really good at understanding that a coach's life is not a player's life. That we work, we're up early, we go home late, and it doesn't end. Probably because of the way he played his career, he works, and he was a really positive. He's got a presence, and who've spent time with it know he can hold a room when he stands in front of it, which is a key piece to being able to grab guys and motivate. You've also seen he's very convicted in what he believes. I mean, he is strong in his beliefs, and he will hold them to that, which I think is why you're going to end up loving this guy. No, so that my relationship was involved around Ralph Krueger. So when I met with the Edmonton Oilers, it related to that. I know Ralph. Ralph worked for the Carolina Hurricanes. I had his son on my team. I also, then coming back from Europe, had an affinity to learn more about where I just was, and I knew Ralph had a great background in that. So that's where that was. it just never got that far down the line. The fact of the matter is, I wouldn't have taken it because he wouldn't need me here. You know, if it had been a real old veteran team and I've got a little more experience with that, he's got a strong voice with a young team. That's exactly what you want, in my opinion. And you don't need to. And I've never, ever been in this. Well, I was an assistant coach for 2 months. And the guy that I was working with got fired, so I couldn't have been any good. He was Paul Holmgren. He scared me. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to that question. I think, as I get older, I get a better chance of being able to do that, because you really have to enjoy the game and things like that away from it. I know this. Dallas Aikens did not need at any point my help.
You mentioned your name several times in the press
conference. Right.
Which is why we took
the right. Yeah, be clear about this. I'd work with that guy any day of the week. I mean, I've got all the time in the world for him. I care for him, and I think he's fantastic. I also know he doesn't need my help.
Paul, your adjustments to the lineup this week, how did you arrive at Michael Frolik with Andrew Ladd and Brian Little constant pair?
It's almost, at the time, statistical. It goes back to what are the first things that need to be fixed. So we get different analytics than are sometimes just on the score sheet, but one of our big problems is giving up goals against the other team's best line. So I needed to come up with, in my mind, at least a starting point of a group. When you ask yourself the question, if you have a one-goal lead, you know, who are the five guys that you put on the ice? So I started kind of from that point and went from there, built from that out.
No, I
learned an appreciation for the National Hockey League, without a doubt. I mean, I walked into my hotel room yesterday and went, wow, I'm back in the National Hockey League. That experience, I'm not even sure I fully understood what it meant, but and strictly from a hockey point of view, I saw things that I'd never seen before. I coached 2 years of major junior, 1 year in the American Hockey League, and I've spent 15 in the NHL. I mean, it's been one way. And then you go to some place, and it's completely different. And so you learn a lot of things, how to present an idea without speaking the language. How do you get a concept across on the board and in a drill that people who don't understand you can understand? That's a real challenge, but it's a great exercise. Constantly looking at things and asking, will that work on the small ice? Can we use that? Because that's different. And I tried some things over there that just didn't work, and then tried some things that I said, if I ever get another chance, I'm going to use that, and I like it. So it was a phenomenal experience. I would, if my kids were a different age, I would do it again in a heartbeat, because it was the first real professional development that I ever went through in my career. There's none in the NHL. You're just stealing stuff off the TV, or you're, you know, run out here and steal what I can from Dallas. Like he was just doing. I mean, that's all we get. But to go over there and talk to other coaches, and it was an incredible experience. Well, we talked quite a bit, more than weekly for a stretch there when he was doing it. The guy, the assistant coach that is still there, is an English speaking guy. His father has got a hockey, and I explain it in Russia, but he's a big name in Russian coaching, so he's got a great experience. Talked to him on Christmas, New Year's Eve, I think, or their Christmas Day, our New Year's. He's got him in first place. He's real smart about what he did with his imports. He waited on him and brought him in, and I think they have a very, very good chance of winning, and he'll come back a better coach. That they have gone through the first half of the year kind of in similar order that we have. They have things that they like there, and they have things they should like there. There's some talk about pieces, and I heard a lot about who has to go and who has to stay and all those other things. But Dallas's challenge and mine are almost the same. I'm not even sure if they're – are they younger than we are? That we're in it, like it's months, right? So we're two really young teams that have to learn the hard lessons, have to learn how important the hard things to do in a hockey game are. It's not even learn, has to get to like them. That's learning them is easy. You get them on the board and say, yeah, coach. Doing them reluctantly is when you're whipping them, but it's how do we get our team to like the hard parts of this game? So we're in the exact same spot. So individually, I've got nothing to add that you haven't heard. They've got some brilliant speed, some brilliant skill, and much like our team, hopefully not tomorrow night, there are times you look at them and went, wow, and times you're going, wow.
Well, when you're talking team speed, a lot of people think that's offensive. Can you talk about how this team's speed has helped you and us teams defensively?
Yeah. So we'll split this. I'm just doing it the way I think about it. There's speed and there's quickness. The speed that we have here in some ways is offensive, with the exception of some of the back pressure. We're able to get back because we have some good long stride speed. But we're going to focus, and really what we focused on is the quickness of our game. So it's wherever there's a stop and a start, there's some quickness involved in doing that. So we're trying to get rid of the loop, get into the stop and the start, and build quickness into our game. And I think playing well defensively is more related to how quick your team is than necessarily how fast your team is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, the players are just talking about, they hear the team speed and defense, but like Mueller was saying, it helps in the transition game, and he feels that's why when it's rolling north-south, you play better defensively.
No question. Especially, I mean, there's a few everybody wants to play, be hard to play against. Yeah, we're going to be hard. But play in-your-face hockey. That's the one I love. But you can't do that from behind. Like, physically, you can't do that from behind. So you either have to be fast enough to get to the right side or you got to start on the right side. We kind of like to do both. Be where we're supposed to be and then use all our quickness and our speed to take something away from them or to create advantage for us. But don't get too excited by the tally, by the number of goals and all the things. The best parts of our game so far have been in blocks in our end.
Yeah.